What could be worse than Rad Radio? Ask and you shall receive. You can watch this train wreck every morning on Rad TV at members.radradio.com.
A couple of follow-up emails, starting with this one from Brian.
Damn it. Brian. Just as bad as the Tyler.
Adam Sandler has a script ready for Happy Gilmore 2.
Woo!
Yay!
No! Yes! The actor who played Shooter Magoobu
McGavin
says, "Oh, it's great. I've seen it. You know, what else are you gonna say? guy doesn't have any work. Who knows? But we were guessing. You know, what's it gonna be?" Brian says, "My prediction is it will be about Happy Gilmore's son. Yeah, you know, that or some sort of protege,
sort
of stupid thing." Tyler says, "How about Sam? It'll be the same story, but Grandma is still alive and needs heart treatments."
There's no way that old woman's still alive.
She's very much dead.
What's her name? Frances what? Oh, yeah, she's dead. She died in 2011.
You can get other people, by the way, to play different characters for the record.
We'll just insert Grandma as AI. Just take her likeness.
There you go. Yeah. We always keep forgetting that's always available.
Oh, God.
If you're watching us on Rad TV at members.radradio.com, coming up in about 20 minutes during our next commercial break, instead of the sights and scenes of what's going on behind the scenes, you're going to get the Dogwoods Resort canine cam.
Oh, the big little puppy.
What's coming up, Brando?
Scout and Sarge, your dogs, Rob, hold your wife, Christina, hostage. While Sarge explains that he is a Rottweiler, despite what his AKC papers say. You also get a glimpse of fat kid Rob's nearly empty plate of sausage, where he does proclaim that he is still hungry, even though he's almost done with that plate.
Yeah, this was all last night when Brandon says Sarge is holding her hostage. It's because we've given up on training our Labradors. And Sarge has his tank-like 40-pound head resting on Christina's shoulder while hugging her with his paw, staring at her bowl of our Cajun One Pot, which is a recipe available in the 2020 cookbook.
Looks good.
So it's smoked sausage and shrimp that are grilled with some fried potatoes and onions and celery and garlic. And, yes, I am in the process of finishing my bowl. And I then finished Christina's bowl.
Jeez, will you?
Excellent. Afterwards. And then, I don't know, 20 minutes later, ate a quarter of a bag of pretzels and mustard or ranch. I don't know.
There you go, big grown boy.
I can't stop. Tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. Jeez, it's Tuesday, right?
Only Jesus. Tuesday.
Yes, it's only Jesus. Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday.
Friday.
That's right.
Oh, well, okay. I'll just have 18 of those today.
Good.
Friday, I will re-weigh in with the doctor to see where I'm at on that.
We have Tron the Golden Retriever demonstrating how he makes guacamole with his squeaky avocado toy.
By the way, I had a thought about the weigh-in on Friday, which will be 3 weeks to the day since I went to my doctor post-detox and the beginning of outpatient rehab, and he was able to give me a few of these amazing drugs that are available that have seemingly, as far as I can tell after almost 3 weeks, no side effects. That not only makes sure you don't feel any of the withdrawal symptoms, but that your cravings are something. They do something to your brain where you don't even crave alcohol. In fact, I sent a note to my wife. She was at work yesterday, and I was in the middle of an issue. We all have issues, life issues. It was pissing me off. It was annoying. I couldn't solve it. I hate being out of control. I hate relying on other people. All these things. And I said to her, I said, "Here's the good news. I have no desire to have a drink, like none. Like the thought, like it repulsed me.
Good.
Like all I wanted was my ginger ale. It's just so it is. So those kind of things are neat along the way as well.
I like how we're promoting this weigh-in at your doctor's office on Friday. Like it's a fight. Like,
exactly.
Like you're getting geared up for some big matchup this weekend. Like let's get ready to jiggle.
Did Rob make weight?
We're still guessing, right?
So thank you for reminding me of why I even brought that up. Yes, we're going to have a guess on Friday morning. You all get to guess. I weighed at 171 3 weeks ago Friday. Again, that's right in my wheelhouse. I'm always 171 to 175. There's been people that have been writing in and guessing, and you're welcome to do so. And I'll be completely honest on Monday when they come back. But I wonder, will Ian from Tech to You have an advantage? Because he hasn't seen me in a few weeks. You guys see me every day.
Yes.
Will he see me and go, whoa, chubby? Or,
right, because when you're with someone every day, you don't notice it. Because
Ian's going to be part of the show Friday for no reason other than to be part of the show.
Well, we could go back in the video files on Rad TV and just look like 3 weeks ago and then compare.
You could.
You could. Dawn and I are just shaking our head at you knowing that that doesn't really apply. It doesn't really matter. But it's a silly idea.
And whatever advantage.
Cameras add like 50 pounds.
Figure it out.
And now, baby, here's Dr. Rob. Doctor of Love.
All right.
Dr. Rob.
Here's how the Dr. Rob segment works. You got a question, a comment, a problem of your own. Our phone number is 888-989-9811. You can always write to the doctor, R-A-D, at radradio.com. Remember, I'm not really a doctor, so you can suck it. This is an email from Daniel.
Hey, Daniel.
There's a major part of this email missing, but I'll do my best. Says, your show is a constant in my life, Dr. Rob. I look forward to your words every day. I'm emailing you at 2 a.m. True, I can see that. But I do have a good reason. This is the part that's missing. My mother was murdered 20 minutes after I left her house.
What? When?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Last night?
That's my question.
2 years ago? Last month?
When you were a kid?
Because it's not explained.
My God.
Throughout the rest of the email. I mean, part of it is, but... like literally half an hour ago, because it's 20 minutes.
That's very important, I have to say. I don't know if I can go on with the email.
Weeks ago or whatever. So let's do our best and see. My mother was murdered 20 minutes after I left her house. Somebody broke in and stabbed her to death. I'm asking for help because 20 minutes. I could have spared those 20 minutes, but I chose not to. I went to work early. I'm struggling with my grief. I just guess I'm asking, are you willing to help me share some of the wisdom I've listened to for the past 10 years? How am I supposed to grieve? I don't know how to move on. You can call me a Bradley Cooper all you want. I was a mama's boy. I take no shame in announcing that. Granted, I didn't live at home with her or take her on dates. I'm only 31 years old, and just a few months ago, I thought I had another 10, 20, 30 years with my mom. I know death is inevitable. We all lose our parents, which is why I've been okay mostly. So now I'm starting to think it's been days.
Did he just say a few months ago he thought he had a long time with her?
Yes.
So maybe this is when it happened a few months ago?
Maybe.
I say
maybe.
That's safe. Just to play around.
I know death is inevitable. We all lose our parents, which is why I've been okay mostly. But when I'm alone, I start to think and miss her. I just want and need the Rad Radio team to help me, give me advice. It's irrelevant, actually, when it happened. It's just kind of a big question.
Hearing more of that.
It doesn't sound like it was 2 nights ago. Might have been 2 weeks ago. Might have been two months ago. So the big question is about grieving. And that we all know we're going to lose our parents, and you've been okay mostly, but when you're alone, you start to think and miss her. But you mentioned there's something else you do that I think is the big thing that's going to help you to start getting over. First of all, from what I understand, having not lost a parent yet.
Parent hog.
But having lost plenty of people and animals and other things that matter to me in my life greatly. You're never going to not miss her, ever. And you're not going to miss her all the time. But my experience, my personal experience, and my understanding from other people is there are constantly going to be things that come up in life where you go, oh, mom would have been so helpful here. Or, oh, that makes me think of, oh, I wish mom was here to see this. It won't be as palpable as it is now, but you're never going to not miss her. Brandon, how long has your mom been gone?
12 years, I think, now.
Still miss her now and then?
Oh, my God. It doesn't get any better. It just gets different. You know?
Okay.
You can build up a resilience or a muscle that allows you to process the grief. Because in my experience, grieving my mom's death is constant. And it doesn't debilitate me in any way, but it does hurt, and it will hurt. But it also feels good to still have that memory and still hold her tight in my mind and my heart. And losing my mom at a somewhat unexpectedly, very much unexpectedly, at a very young age, I can sense where the letter writer is at in what he said about, had I just been there 20 minutes longer.
Right. Well,
before leaving, right?
Yeah, don't get ahead of me here.
Okay, but but that is a big chunk of the piece for me, because I dwell on that kind of stuff. Like, had I been more active, had I been more in, you know, if I just reached out way more than I did, then maybe something would have gone differently. But when it comes to a murder, it's unfortunate that that even exists, but it could happen to any one of us. And I don't think that it was in the plan for her to be saved that day. And that might sound callous, but there's a reason for everything. And I'm really sorry for your loss, but I think time heals all wounds, really. And I think the best thing you could do is just reach out to us to get some advice, but also talk to somebody about
it. You said, I think, Brandon, you said that you still miss her, but it gets different.
Yeah.
I've had friends say, you still miss them, but it becomes less often or less prevalent. Again, everybody's going to experience this different.
Yeah.
You say you start to think about her, and that ain't going to change either.
Nope.
You're going to think about your mom. You're going to see something on TV that reminds you of her. Something around the house. A mannerism. So those things are going to exist. They should. They're part of the tapestry of your life. But Brandon, and actually, as it worked out, it's fine that he got ahead of me, because he got to the big thing. That this is what's really haunting you, and I think there's two issues, Dan, that you got to start with. First of all, this guilt. You have guilt. You wrote in your email, somebody broke in and stabbed her to death. I'm asking for help because 20 minutes. I could have spared those 20 minutes, but I chose not to. What the hell does that mean? And I mean this in the nicest way. If you were there, you would have saved her. If you were there, you would have disarmed the person. If you were there, they would have gone to another house. You're placing a whole bunch of scenarios on your shoulders that are improvable. I think another issue that you don't mention at all is, did they catch the guy? Because I know that's a big issue for people who are victims of family crimes, in particular murder. You wonder, are they being punished? Did they get caught? And that adds to your guilt. And that's the word I want to get to, is guilt. You and Brandon's right. I don't know what you're doing, if anything. You got to talk to somebody. I don't care if it's AI. We got AI platforms now for this, therapy, things like that. Start there. If you can't afford therapy, if you can't go to a group, there are all sorts of Facebook groups and other groups for people that have lost family members. You've got to start talking to some people about some of this to, first of all, forgive yourself, because you haven't. And you make that clear without saying it. Once that happens, the things Brandon's alluding to will start to happen to you, where you will still miss her and you will still think about her, but it will become different. It might become better. It might become happier. It might become less often. But this 20-minute thing, you've got to get over. The fact that you lost her at 31 years old, and you're right, you should have expected decades more, is tragic. I got people right here in my studios that have gone through it. And it's awful. But your big thing is that guilt thing that I need you to, that's what I want you to focus on first and foremost to help get you past this, which is going to take a while.
So just to add to that, because I, first of all, listen, you're normal. I think that this is something a lot of us do. I don't want to say all, because that's a superlative, but a lot of us do. And when we concentrate on that part of it, where you're thinking of the 20 minutes, and if you had stayed, and you're beating yourself up over that, it is something that I have found that we use that it keeps us from almost mourning completely, because now we're kind of obsessing on that and beating ourselves up. And sometimes that just in a weird way just feels like a better place to be than to actually end all the other emotions of grieving. And when you say, how do you grieve? How you're going to grieve. That's how you grieve. There is absolutely no one or one way to grieve. And don't let anyone tell you that. Do not let, oh, well, you got to start with this, and then you'll move on to that, and then you'll move on to that. No, it is different for everyone. Some people are in denial for months, and then they cry, and then they're angry, and then they're sad, and then they're depressed, and then they go back to anger. Like, you are going to grieve how you need to grieve. What you want to make sure is that your grieving doesn't take you down such a dark road that you're no longer able to live life and function on a daily basis. There's time for that. Of course, in the beginning, it's really hard for people to live day to day their lives and even want to. But as time, you know, goes on, you don't want to do that. And listen, someone said something to me and it was absolutely true for me. I don't know if it'll be true for you. And they said it right when my father passed away, because her father had passed.
And you were young.
And I was young. I was 25 years old when my father passed. And I asked this older gal that we worked with, because she had lost her dad 20 years prior. And I was like, does it get better? And she said, no. What happens is the pain gets, that initial pain and heartache gets less and gets better. But I agree with Brandon. You have moments. I still do. My father passed at 25. I still have moments over all these years where I will cry. Moments. But just like Brandon said, it doesn't keep me from living life and doing the day-to-day. What absolutely ends up happening, and I found this to be true with my mom and my dad. She passed in 2019. I miss them more as time goes on because there are so many things about your life that you want them there for, that you want them to share in, and they're not there.
Agreed.
Yeah.
First off, I'm really sorry that happened to you. There's this kind of crazy thing that happened. That's something you hear about in movies, and sorry that situation happened to you. But maybe he's dwelling on the fact of like what he could have done. Well, imagine if he did stay 20 minutes later. What if he got murdered that day? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you're a father or if you have a wife or what, or if you have people that depend on you, but I'm assuming you do, like many of us do. I mean, it could have been detrimental to more people in your life as well had you been there. So maybe just take all the scenarios and think of maybe the worst scenarios that could have happened involving you and just think that maybe you're lucky to be alive.
Yeah. And I just to more to the mental health aspect of it, I'm guilty of this because I find that it's easier to just deal with the problem head on. It's emotional avoidance. And in this case, your emotional avoidance is going through all the motions of what if I did this? What if I did that? My mom would still be here. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot easier than coming to the place of acceptance where your mom is gone, because that hurts
so much more.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm just messing.
Not the time, Dawn. Not the time.
I just wanted to lighten things up.
Man.
Oops.
No, I just wanted to lighten things up. This is so sad and heartbreaking for you.
Did you want to finish your thought, no, Brenda?
That was it.
I'm sorry. Oh, did you just wipe a tear?
Yeah.
Is that what I thought?
Yeah, I was really into it.
Yeah.
And I guess I just got so emotional that I missed the part where Dawn said the same thing.
I love what Kyle said, though, about because.
Oh,
Kyle,
yeah, Kyle, because
no,
Brandon,
no, no, no,
you
no,
just
no,
repeat
no,
what Dawn says.
No, damn it. Because you know what? To Kyle's point. What if you were the one that died and your mom was alive? Now she's left mourning her child.
Or you're both dead.
Would you want that for your mom, you know?
One.
Yeah.
I unlike Dawn, appreciated in Brandon's initial thing, one of the things he brought up was...
I said things I appreciated, he said.
Was he brought up... How do we phrase it? Your mom... She died of an eating disorder or a heart attack caused by that or what?
Yeah. Okay. So as a result of the years and years of eating anorexia that took the toll on her body to where her heart just gave out.
And so we do this thing. And you know, Brandon said it. He said, you go through this. Could I have done more? Could I have said more? Could I have done something differently, et cetera? Now, it's a little different to you, Dan, because you're like, well, I had no way of knowing there was a murderer on the way. But it's not different, because a lot of times there's nothing more you could have done. As Kyle said, you might wind up dead. You both might wind up dead. Dawn said, you know, how about you're just dead and now mom's left mourning you and no parent should ever bury their child, things like that. Ugh. The other thing too is, and this is for the rest of you, and although Dan can think about this, one of the things that makes losing a parent harder, no matter what age you are, is if you have unresolved issues with them, if you have unsaid words, because when they're gone, you're never going to have that opportunity. I can pinpoint the day, Thanksgiving 1993 or four. I would have to double check the weather because I couldn't get to the Bay Area for Thanksgiving. I lived in Reno, and I wound up spending the entire weekend completely retiling my house instead.
Party.
And at one point, called my dad, and we had an hour-long conversation. And my dad and I never had a problem talking, but it all got out on all sides of everything good and very little bad, and how proud he was of me and how much it meant. And there's nothing left unsaid, nothing. And that helps. It also helps for those of us that get to a certain age where we can pretty much start accepting that our parents are going to go away, and you, Daniel, don't have that. And that's very unfortunate. And that's what makes this so hard for you. It makes it hard for Brandon. It makes it hard for Dawn, because you don't have the time where at some point you get to go, well, look, not only have I lived half a century, these two are older than everybody should be, average age. And you start to just accept, you know, I shared earlier, my mom just beat breast cancer to whatever level you can beat it. I was emotional at times through it, but my wife saw firsthand, and she joked, like we do on the show at one point. She's like, God, you really are a robot about this stuff, mm-hmm. aren't you? And I said, yeah. I said, but also, she's been here 83 years. You know, I think I said it on the air. I expect every morning, I don't wake up thinking this, I'm not macabre like this, but I'm prepared every morning to wake up to a text or a call that says, hey, so-and-so's dead. Mom or dad's dead. You don't have that either. And so that all of these things, I hope, give you things to think about. And if you do have unresolved, unsaid words with her, don't let that haunt you either. A couple of emails that came in that caught my eye. Barbie says, I lost my mom 11 years ago. Not a day goes by that I don't miss her. I call all of this the new normal of my life. Chris says, I lost my mom to cancer 14 years ago. She loved music. I still miss her to this day, but I choose to think that she checks in with me. When her favorite artist, Barry Manilow, just comes on my satellite radio, it's like she's saying hi to me, letting me know she sees me and she's still there. I still miss her, but I think she checks in once in a while. And I think you got to look for things like that too, Chris.
I love that. I could relate to that. Patsy Cline, the Sgt. Pepper's and the Lonely Hearts Club Band, Garth Brooks, all any one of those artists, those are her favorites. Matchbox 20, unfortunately. But the first album was good. So I'm okay with that. But I love that because I do believe that there are ways that you can connect with your deceased loved ones in that way. Coincidence, maybe, but I like to believe in the higher power.
And I suggest, especially in the healing process, and that's clearly where he is, dismiss the coincidence part. This is me talking, Captain, you know, no mumbo jumbo. Especially when these things happen out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. You know, why did this particular song, this particular thing, this particular whatever that would only be connected to my mom just happen? Well, it's because she's telling you everything's okay.
Yeah, and I think that for the letter writer, if you do have some unsaid words and you want to address them to your mom, as much as it sounds like a therapy session, it could actually work for you. Write it down in a letter to your mom, or say it out loud, like talk to your
Absolutely.
Mom.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, even, God, I had it on the top of my mind, but even if it's something as simple as, I'm sorry I wasn't there to help you, that could be so cathartic, and it could get so much weight off of your shoulders. I just think that might help you.
So I haven't had a parent pass on me, but I had a close grandparent pass on me, and I watched him pass, and I realized one thing that also helped is I always think about him in certain situations, like we were talking about, Rob, but a certain song comes on the radio, I'm like, oh, that's Pa. He's talking to me. And it almost keeps him alive in my mind. And, you know, I see him in dreams all the time. And I always think, like, you know, when they pass, they go on to another realm. I think the part of that keeping them alive is you thinking about them, putting them in those good situations.
That's what honestly kills me the most. I mean, my parents, obviously, that's a hard loss. And I never knew the feel like an orphan syndrome until I lost both of them. And Rob told me he's heard more than one person say that. You just feel like an orphan. The two people that created you are no longer here. But my grandparents, that wrecks me. My grandparents were such a huge influence on us growing up. And we were around them so much, and they were such a comfort. Still to this day, I mean, like, they'll be my father-in-law lives with us. He'll watch, you know, different shows from days gone by, you know, and music. And sometimes I just have to walk away and not hear it, because I'm just like, it takes me back to when they were alive and things we'd watch together and music I would listen to with them. And just, you know, the whole thing of it's such human nature, as I already mentioned, for us to want to have that guilt. But there's a lot of grace. This is even if you haven't lost someone. It applies when you lose someone, and just in life in general, the grace we need to give ourselves. We do what we did at that moment. We cannot beat ourselves up about it with our future self that ends up happening. That is, you can't go back to where you were and what you think you might have done now as you sit here in present day. We have to have grace for those time and space where those are the decisions we made for whatever reason at that time, and it's okay. And you have to let those just pass and move on. And maybe now you would do different, who knows? But you can't beat yourself up for something that happened already and wherever you were in your mindset at that time. We grow, we become different, we learn more, and then we want to beat ourselves up for not knowing what we know now. We should have knew it then. No, you shouldn't have known it then. You don't know things until you know them.
A lot of emails with some thoughts on this. We've gone long. We'll get back to those emails after we play Treble Trouble. We do have a pair of tickets for you to see Chevelle at the Grand Sierra Resort in Reno on April 23rd. We're going to give you a three-second song clip. You're going to give us the title of the song, and that's how you win. Caller 18 guesses first, then 19, then 20, and if nobody knows the song title...
Call your parents if you can.
Droplets everywhere and no winner.
We need a winner.
Oh, but she just talks and talks and talks, Brandon. I mean, it's like, Mom, I got to go.
And that'll be the thing you'll miss. Oh.
Yes.
I called my dad. Yeah. Oh.
She says crap like that, too. And that's
what I
tell her. I said, don't bet on it. 888-989-9811 for Treble Trouble.
Rob. Anybody. And Dawn. The Rob. Anybody. And Dawn Show.